Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
My name is Burke Gummer, and I've been called many things. Gun enthusiast, monster hunter, doomsday prepper. I reject all these labels. What I am is a survivalist. I've scoured the dirt and dust of Nevada and Mexico, putting my life on the line to hunt super-sized subterranean man-eating predators called graboids. Using a combination of local knowledge, intuition, and firepower, I've managed to control this deadly species and keep them confined to the Northern Hemisphere.
God. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, and that guy right there is Brian Master Ass Blaster Runs Bartertown Dunaway.
Oh, hi. Local South African dance choreographer and ass blaster impersonator, Chance Naidu here. Please step back, white people. I'm about to blow your collective minds as I light my ass on fire and rocket skyward as if my ass were on fire. Be envious as I do those really sweet vertical leaps. Using only my crazy strong calf muscles. Yes, just like in National Geographic, white folks. Uh-oh, things have gone horribly wrong. It appears instead of lighting the fuse to my homemade phosphorus device, which I have stuck in my bum, I have mistakenly lit my penis on fire. Ah! Which I sometimes refer to as my graboid. Damn these authentic South African tribal dance attire in their crotchless fashion sense. Said no South African ever. Always be running.
Yeah.
Scott, yeah. Always be running. Yeah. Sun's up. Yeah. Time to run.
Yeah. Your graboid is showing.
Oh, is that my graboid? Excuse me.
That's your graboid. Also with us, Randy, King of the Graboids, Jordan.
Wow. Aloha, Scott. Brian. Hi. Right. Did I ever tell you boys about the time you all stared right at me and watched me die in the vicious razor-toothed jaws of a creature the size of a freaking Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and then I just came back to life? Been there, done that, boom shakalaka, ow, it hurts so good, but not me, it hurts you, nothing hurts me. Except the realization that my son Jamie Kennedy and my son Michael J. Fox are stepbrothers. Get on the rocks!
Haven't put it together yet. That's a good one. Justine Bateman has a new brother. Who knew?
Dad, Mallory.
That voice.
Reagan.
That voice, of course, belonging to Brian. If you dumb, you bleed Ibbit.
That's right. So, you know, Tremors 5 does what a lot of other monster movies do when they have sequels. They give the monsters new powers to kind of keep things interesting, keep the heroes on their toes. So for this one, they give the monsters fart flying and removable tentacles. Now, I did a little bit of tentacles.
Yes. Tentacles, I love it.
I did a little bit of Googling this morning, and I've actually found their secret plans for the next several installments of Tremors and what new powers they're going to be giving the monsters to keep things fresh. Now, for example, Cold Day in Hell, Tremors 6, which is actually already out, the Graboids come back to life as zombies after you kill them. Tremors 7, the final chapter, the Graboids waylay turds made from explosive acid. Tremors 8, Rise of the Legend of Black Dawn, the ass blasters will emit a pheromone that keeps Kevin Bacon from ever admitting he was in a Tremors movie. And finally, Tremors 9, Return of Reba, the Shriekers finally admit the whole thing has been an elaborate prank on all of us. They apologize for taking our time, and the credits roll.
Oh, man.
Nice. But what about Tremors X when they go to space?
Oh,
I forgot Tremors X.
Oh, I love Tremors X.
I was hoping one was going to be called Ass Blast and the Furious.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way to work 50 Shades Darker.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
You know, I was worried we was all going to do the Burt Gummer survivalist intro thing.
Me too.
And so I avoided it.
Yeah.
I avoided it. Oh,
that's
turn
too
a snake
bad.
Into a snack.
Yeah.
I reject your labels.
I was really attracted to that intro, and I was also attracted to the helicopter pilot telling him the story about what happens in Africa, because it felt like something that maybe that helicopter pilot had like seven different takes on all these different
yes,
stories.
Yes.
You know why that guy seems so freaking familiar to me? I think
maybe not necessarily that actor, but certainly that character has been in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Ian Roberts? Who was that? Was that
I have no idea. And I don't know if he's real. Is he really Australian? Maybe he is. I didn't
is
look
he really
too
a
deep.
Helicopter pilot?
Not Australian.
Is that
South
really
African.
his real shirt, or did they get it on set? I want to know.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions about that guy, but you're right. He's probably just a trope, and in my head, I've seen that dude a billion times. I mean, he's in every one of these movies where you got to survive something. He's this grizzled old dude, like Lapidus from Lost is basically this guy.
In the old days of FilmSack, we would have referred to him as the Obi-Wan.
He is kind of the Obi-Wan.
True, yeah.
And the cave that looks like a vagina.
So the one of my favorites of that role recently was in the new Jumanji movie. Did you guys watch that?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No,
my goodness. Yeah, you definitely got to check that out.
I know. I keep hearing I hear it was like unreasonably good, and it bums me out that I missed it in theaters,
absolutely.
But I did.
It's like already streaming.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Well, you can rent it or whatever, right? Or is it streaming somewhere?
No, I think you can actually stream it somewhere. I will tell you.
On a service?
Well, that's on a streaming service.
That's fantastic news.
Because Nicole watched it.
Yeah,
and recommended it.
Oh,
right.
HBO.
Oh, so anyway, the person I was talking about that is that role is the Rise Darby.
I love him.
I think he is. He is fantastic. Is Nigel? You've probably seen him in other things.
Band meeting. You know, it's.
That's right. It is currently streaming on no services that you can watch for free.
HBO Go possibly. HBO Go. HBO Go possibly. Or
no,
HBO
I have
Now?
That. I have that as one of my.
Oh, you do? Guess what? If you do, then if you're wanting to go, I don't want to just jump into Tremors 5 cold, which is fine, by the way.
Warm us up a little bit first.
Right? 1, 2, 3, and 4 on HBO.
Yeah.
And actually watched the first one last night with Ethan, my middle child. He's 16. He had never seen Tremors, the first one.
He had called the
end of 5 when we were watching it for FilmSack, and we went back and watched the first one, and he enjoyed it.
Nothing wrong with that. Look, I'm gonna just say it right now. I think Tremors 5 is better than it should be. I had a great time with it. I am surprised how good or how much budget, or at least how much they got out of their budget for special effects and stuff.
There you go.
Which, like, I was worried about very early on, because there's a murder scene where the monsters attack a couple in a shower, but all you see are the two of them writhing around with water and blood splashing around, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's going to be one of these movies where they only had budget enough to like show the monster once.
Yeah. I thought it was good, and that was an interesting scene to me. By the way, it tried to be a moment in a film that was supposed to impact you greatly and stand out larger than the rest of the film. And I labeled it as hot, passionate death scene. It was more artistic than the rest of the film. Well, when I say artistic, it was intentionally meant to look artistic.
Maybe. Here's what I thought about that scene.
Yes.
Here's what I thought. I don't think archaeologists are hot people.
Exactly what I thought immediately. Wow. I'm like,
emails from archaeologists coming in 5, 4, 3.
Look, even Jurassic Park. I mean, let's face it. That's Jurassic, the whole.
Wait, just a second. Jurassic Park has some of the most sexy scientists ever. Like it's the problem, you really think, right?
But Laura Dern can play. She can play kind of, you know, homely,
okay,
right?
Okay,
she can do that.
I remember very well her in those shorty shorts. And then later on, Jeff Goldblum.
I can't help it if you got
ladies to go sploosh.
I can't help it if you got a thing for librarians and conservative archaeologists. I can't help that. That's on you.
We're gonna applaud this movie for going there, but not going there too much.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I don't know. They went to Jurassic Park a bunch of times.
Well, no.
Movie,
yeah, I agree.
This movie made freaking 66-year-old Michael Gross at the time look actually like a pretty attractive human being. This movie is cool.
That guy holds up, I think. Physically looks all right.
If your last name is Gross and you're able to look fairly attractive, good on you. You did good.
You have to try a little harder than the rest of us when your last name is Gross.
His IMDb photo, he looks like he should be doing my accounting, not being in a pseudo action guy.
He should be doing some hosting of the latest America's Funniest Home Videos, it looks like to me.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
But he's interesting in this, I thought.
The movie has characters I couldn't figure out. Like poor man's Andy Serkis.
I actually like poor man's Andy Serkis, and with those goggles he looked great. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But I was just like he's in the movie because he's in the first part, the intriguing part, right? He and his partner are out on safari, and dude gets like, he's the reason why they're there,
because
he is kind of initially discovers the nest. But then the rest of the movie I'm just like, I'm waiting for him to die. And I like this movie for that. I like this movie for just basically saying, we're just going to kill off most everybody, probably nobody.
Well, that's what you want.
Top build.
Right.
It's a very predictable
cross-out list. Like, you can pretty much, this is absolutely a movie where you just turn your mind off. But you can look at it and say, okay, well, all right, she's playing with a thing that's shooting worms out of the ground. Gosh, I wonder if we're going to ever use anything similar to that later on in the film. That guy's a bad guy. He's trying to take an egg. Okay, we're going to polarizer his ass out of here at some point. Pretty soon.
Total polarizer, dude.
I didn't think it was polarizer. I thought it was Newman from Jurassic Park.
Same deal.
Same kind of deal.
Yeah. Whatever that's called, that's a great thing. I love those in movies. The little turncoat.
It's must-see TV, a twofer. Yeah. A must-see TV twofer.
Right. It's like a typical Thursday in 1995.
this movie has the, best example of the trope of instant death I've ever seen. I can't think of a film that introduces a character in Den's co-pilot when he comes back with the rocket.
Oh yeah.
And then immediately kills that person and like gives you a shot, just one shot. Oh look, he looks a little bit Native American, got the ponytail. Mm. He's sitting there. I wonder who that guy is. And dead.
Yeah.
Instantly. It was awesome.
Well, almost instantly. You got the thing on the head for a minute and it was yanking on him.
Oh, that was actually cool. I like that they went with the practical effect of putting the thing on his head.
I did too.
A lot of this one was CGI as opposed to a lot of the early 2000s and prior were used a lot of practical effects, a little bit of CGI.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that.
But the CG in this was good. Like
it was good.
Genuinely surprisingly good. And it never like sound work was good. The way it was shot was good. Like I looked at this director's work. Poor man Steve Bannon, not kidding. Look at that guy's photo.
Yeah, seriously.
And this is what he does. He acts and does some other stuff, but mainly when he's asked to direct, his next film is a Death Race sequel. That sounds awesome, by the way.
Right.
These are all straight to video, by the way.
They feel like this is probably good enough for the Sci-Fi Channel kind of stuff, right? And we know what the special effect levels are for typical. This is pretty.
We've
much
all
sci-fi
seen Sharknado.
Channel.
Yeah, we know
exactly.
Sure.
So it was really surprising to see decent practical effects, decent CGI.
Yeah, like stuff.
I enjoyed one of the things they did in this one. They had so there was a large gap between the last Tremors and this Tremors, and I always find it interesting to see movies that have a large gap because lots of times the people working on the movie currently are people who grew up with the movie when they were kids, dreaming of doing something like this, and they finally get to do it. And so sometimes they do it right. The depth of it is so great. And I loved how they made the graboids, the ones that are under the ground.
Yeah.
They did this corkscrew thing when they flew through the air.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I really dug how they really just kind of, you know, just really got into into what was already there and kind of added to it.
Yeah.
And right out of the gate, like there's about four ways you can do a sequel. Years later, you can do a direct sequel, an indirect sequel. You can pretend that the previous films didn't exist at all, and it's a completely different thing with the same name. You can do a reboot, right? Mm-hmm. And this, like, I was really nervous about most of those categories. And this is an indirect sequel, right? So it just assumes that you're okay with the previous films having described the universe,
right?
And off we go, and it's like newish people, but we're still kind of like, you know, like we're a sequel.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it. So I did not want a reboot here.
No, it's an 11. So it's an 11-year gap. It came out in 2004. Was the previous one, and the previous one in 2004 was actually a prequel to all of the films.
Oh yeah, the one in the 19th century.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read one and it's like Gross. Michael Gross plays an ancestor of Michael Gross.
He does. Yeah, I love it.
So Michael Gross back to the futures himself.
Yes, like Michael did.
Yeah.
He did. It was fantastic. And I love that one too. Has anyone seen the entire series?
No.
Okay,
I've seen one and five.
No, Brian Dunaway, we don't do, normal people don't do that.
By the way, Brian Dunaway, how is that five disc Blu-ray collection for this? Is it pretty good?
Yeah.
You would think I would have the Blu-ray collection, but let's be real. This is Tremors. I only have a DVD, which is the five. I haven't watched part six, so I'm not actually a completist. You can't accuse me of being a completist because I haven't seen six yet.
Six came out in May of this year. So
part six will be playing all day on Wednesday on Sci-Fi.
And by the way, six apparently.
I think you can watch it on Netflix.
It is on Netflix now. Five and six are on Netflix. One through four on HBO. If you don't have it, you can get the 7-day trial.
Six is a direct sequel, by the way, in that Jamie Kennedy's back. Like, it's all that.
Five is a sequel.
Thank goodness he's been added to this lore. Yeah.
How do we feel about? Okay, this is one of my big struggles with this movie. Is how do I actually feel about Jamie Kennedy? Because on the surface, I'm almost like I almost kind of put him in the Pauly Shore category. It's like sometimes he annoys the crap out of me, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, I like Jamie Kennedy. All right.
This thicker, scone like Jamie Kennedy is fine with me. I don't have a problem with it.
I believe he's more Danny McBride's son than Michael Gross's son.
Yeah. I was getting that vibe for sure. His hair, my gosh, dude, get some product on that thing. But I don't. It's when he was younger and freaking out like that Mask 2 garbage and all that. I didn't like. But here he's fine. I don't know. I mean, obviously he's not as bankable as he used to be, or we'd see him in things that weren't directed to video. But he's fine in this, I guess. It's not that funny. I don't know. If you ask me, he's the kind of the weak spot. I don't actually think he was the best part of this movie. But
It was an odd character writing choice for Jamie Kennedy as an actor and a character, because I think they made him play a lot younger than he was, because he's riding around on the motorcycle and doing all these Xander kind of things, like you expect to see Vin Diesel do in, you know, the XXX's movies and stuff. And but I also enjoyed all of his stupid, you know, references to movies, like when he's in the cave and he's doing the Come to Africa, and he's doing the whole John McClane.
Yeah.
So even though I wanted to be annoyed by it, I was almost charmed. And it would be one of those things where you're charmed by Jamie Kennedy, and then the next morning you wake up and you're like, oh my God, what did I do?
His experiment paid off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and the thing, the thing that Jamie Kennedy always had to do was distinguish himself from his twinsy brother Seth Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody like 15, 20 years ago was like, I don't know the difference between these two individuals at all. And one of the, you know, and so of course Seth Green's been fairly successful, right? He's like probably worth more, probably, you know, working more.
He does a lot more behind the scenes now. He does a lot, you know, he's got a pretty good thing going on with that Robot Chicken. He's got Family Guy money still rolling in. So, I mean, it's weird that
those two guys kind of are in the same space in your brain, because when you go to Comic-Con and you see them, like at this on the same day, you realize, oh wow, they're totally different. Jamie Kennedy's older, he's bigger, et cetera, et cetera.
I never had that one. I always used to get Seth Green and Bud Bundy confused.
Married with Children. Married with Children, that actor, yeah.
David Faustino, I believe his name
Faustino,
is.
Faustino, well done. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. It's like I can see the credits now.
But as I get older and I know their body of work, I easily identify each.
Oh, yes, his body of work, right. Yeah.
Coming back, though, Jamie Kennedy has such the choice role in this film. Like, if you ever get to have a role like this in anything, take it, man. Any role where they bring in a motorcycle stunt guy to double you and make you look badass, that's a great role.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it all looked like they were having fun. Giving Michael Gross a bunch of dumb one-liners was great. You know, me going, well, dude, you're the dad from Family Ties is always fun to do with a Tremors movie. The fact that he's the one that survived out of the first one and not Kevin Bacon is hilarious. And the fact that Kevin Bacon is making a television series based on Tremors that he's in is hilarious.
Which hasn't been picked up, by the way.
No.
It's still a pilot. Hasn't been picked up. But
Sci-Fi Channel passed on the pilot.
You pass, you're fools. I mean, I would be totally into this. Yeah. But this is not the first time Tremors stuff. Tremors goes to this all the time. They'll have something and only make it a season, or it never makes it a pilot. Everybody wants to make a Tremors movie, but nobody wants to buy it or watch it, maybe? I don't know, but everybody's interested in getting in on the
Everybody
franchise.
Everybody wants in on Tremors, but nobody actually wants to see any of it.
Right. So, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either, but that's an interesting thing. So, this is interesting time-wise. Released 25 years after the first installment of the Tremors franchise. So that would have made, if he's 66 when this was made, that would have made him what? Do the math here.
He was pretty young. I went back and watched Tremors 1 last night with the boy. It was I was shocked by how young everybody was and how hairsprayed Reba McEntire's hair was.
Solid as a rock, dude. Yeah, they're even the
best
worms.
Best thing Reba McEntire ever did.
Yeah, and the worms couldn't even penetrate that hair. That hair had its own.
I don't want to right now because we just watched Tremors 5, but it made me realize Tremors 1 is one of the very few movies we've ever watched on FilmSack that I wouldn't mind revisiting and doing another episode on someday.
Mm. Wasn't that our first? That was our first film. One. Yeah, it was our first Nerdtacular one, 2011, I think. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite films of all time. So I mean, horror comedy, Brian. That's my thing.
Yeah, Ibbot. You do.
I love horror comedy. Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah. I like that you said
and
Ibbot.
By the way,
I like that you said Ibbot so that we knew you weren't talking to yourself. That was fantastic.
Right, I didn't want you to think I was talking in the third person. So I'm like, I have to define. I didn't want you to think I went all heatstroke Michael Gross in a cage. Right. I wanted to make sure y'all knew I was.
Yeah, drinking your own urine, wearing your own urine, somehow producing.
Was not. I love that scene, but oh my God, that has to be. I mean, can there be any other question of what Gross got out?
Initially I wrote down what Gross got out the most. Oh, spitting in your hand, doing the handshake thing. And then it's cross that off. It's the whole urine thing.
Well, you're close. You're both very close. I wrote down spitting.
Is it the drinking urine or is it the lion?
I wrote down spitting in your hand was number one. The lion, then he came along, started rubbing pee on himself, and I went, well, that's pretty gross, but also I know it's not pee, right? Like, I'm not actually seeing somebody put pee all over themselves. So it wasn't that gross. Now, I know the lion pee is also not real, but that got
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I think it was because he spit it out because it was actually in his mouth.
Yeah.
I think that was real.
Can we go back to the very...
Absolutely real.
Yeah. We got to go back to the very first scene, though, because that dude taking a squat and picking up a bunch of like sticks and twigs and stuff his hand to wipe with.
Yeah.
When he stands up and starts hitching up his trousers, you're like, I will bet you there is a 10-foot radius stink around that guy from not getting all the poop off of his butthole.
Not even now. He's got like a freaking haystack in there. It's no good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So dry. You don't want that.
Right.
And how did you not see that giant gaping hole? And why didn't he poop in the hole? I mean, it's like an outdoor toilet.
I think you haven't camped. If you think you look down, you see a hole made from an animal, and you decide you're going to squat over it. You're going to put your delicates right over
I'm going to poop right in this prairie hole.
I got a good story about that. When I was in Scouts, we had this really funny thing happen where this kid, we were on this river trip.
And funny to who?
Well, to me and my friend. But there was this kid across this ravine, kind of like a, and it wasn't really a hole, but this, there was a kid who had snuck over there to poo off the edge of a ravine. So it was like a cliff.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were on the other side, hiding behind a bush going, oh my gosh, that guy's going to poo. Ha ha ha. We were like 15, whatever. So my friend pulls out his wrist rocket. Yeah. You remember those? It's basically a slingshot that would like had rubber surgical tubing on it.
No, surgical tube, like a slingshot, like a slingshot. But, yeah.
They call them wrist rockets back then. Anyway.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to hit him. I'm like, dude, you probably shouldn't do that. He goes, no, I'm totally do it. So he puts a rock inside of this thing, pulls back, fires, and you kind of, it was a flat rock, so it didn't go straight. Uh-huh. So you watched it go, kind of turn, and you saw this thing go across the ravine, and then it disappears, and then a little bit of delay, you see the kid on the other side who's halfway loafed, right? He's got a little, he's got a turtle out of there. He goes, and like kind of tenses up and then falls over because we pinged him in the butt. I know. It was bad. No one ever.
I was afraid you were going to say fell into the ravine.
No. Oh gosh, no. Although now that you say it, it probably would have. That we probably got lucky.
The kid comes back and goes, "Man, I just had the worst crap in my life. I was trying to poop, and all of a sudden, my butt whole thing just started hurting."
He
did
it. That's what happened. Everyone goes back to camp. He comes back and he goes, "Oh, you guys, I got bit by something over there. Is there something?" He thought he got bit by a giant bug or something. I know. And we didn't say anything. We just
y'all snickered.
Yeah, we're just like, "Hee hee hee!" It's by the fire all night. It was great. Anyway, there's
you
that
got
story.
That confused with hemorrhoids for years.
But here's my point.
Checked out.
Here's my whole problem with the lion pee and the pee in general. Not the lion pee so much, just his.
The lion pee.
A human cannot be in those conditions for those that many days and still be producing enough urine to like bathe himself.
Yeah,
in
yeah. What was the time frame there? I was sitting like, okay, he's been in this cage for a minute, no big deal. But then it makes you believe that a whole day goes by. No.
Yeah.
He would be dying of exposure and like everything. He wouldn't like I don't know. It's just
survivalist. He knows how to survive. And
right,
stuff like
but.
I think a day or two. I mean, yeah, you drink your pee, you recycle, whatever. You could probably pull a day out of this.
Well, I think you could pull a day. You only need three days before you could die from no water.
Right.
But he's an excessive heat, though, so I think that ramps it up a little bit. Yeah.
Does it? Because they established that in Tremors 1 in Nevada that they can't take the heat because old man is up on the power lines. That's right. I'm going way back to Tremors 1. And he could make it up to 3 days with no water. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it was an exaggeration on purpose. Well, we know it's an exaggeration on purpose, but it felt very much like a Jim Carrey moment.
Where
like, you know, it's like, oh, this is just supposed to be a very, you know, an hour, but you know, it just goes to
a
dramatic.
Lot of quick cuts, come back and forth, like, oh, and then you find out you've only been in here for 5 minutes. How you doing?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's supposed to be comedic, and that was my only saving grace for so many things in this film. Like, I would have hated this movie if it had played it even a tiny bit more straight. But it was bent.
I agree.
Every little thing. In fact, there was a point where I was waiting to find out that the vet was something other than just a straight sort of sidekick subplot. Mm-hmm. Because, like, she's this weird other thing in this film that doesn't quite fit ever for me. Like, she's got a bow and arrows because, you know, why not? Everything else about her and her story is different.
Yeah, she's like a chick in the bucket without actually being gone. She was odd.
I actually didn't. Yeah, that part of the movie kind of bothered me a little bit because it was it is something that I've noticed more and more recently, especially in superhero movies where there's battles. You have to have your primary male characters fighting a battle, but you can't have a male character punching a woman. I'm like, what is this? Like, this is like 2015 and 2018. I mean, come on, we've seen worse than this. Why can't we have, you know, this kind of fight? Why do we have to separate our stories? And it's like, I don't care for that much anymore.
So yeah, we really did get a B.
Widow's always got to go punch the female villain.
Yeah, right. I don't care for that much anymore.
But we did get we got a B story here that we normally don't get in these movies. Yeah. Like
And I'll tell you what, the next Tremors film, don't tell me anything about it. I need to believe that Tremors 6 has Burt Macklin's wife, Jamie Kennedy's mom, as another badass. That better be.
The one night stand comes back and she's like a badass.
And Jamie Kennedy plays the part of his mom.
Yeah,
I want to see that movie.
Ooh. Like Madea style?
Oh. You totally nailed it.
Yeah, like Madea. That's amazing. I love it. In a fat suit or something. All that stuff.
Right.
Although he's
not
wearing
a fat suit, he just may some not, really.
He may not
maybe,
need one.
You know, she's from Florida. She's got to have her fanny pack on. You know, got the old lady shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch that.
Well, what I meant by B story, so I should have clarified. What I meant by B story is I don't mean it was like B movie. I mean B story.
Subplot.
There was a subplot going on with a whole separate fight against a whole separate
the
set
action
of things.
The action was better in the B story, in my opinion. I loved her character. And
oh,
how
and the whole thing, the whole homage to Jurassic Park in the kitchen and that, it was great.
Yeah, that was all right. That actually came off all right, that whole scene in the kitchen. I mean, and by the way, you've got your Predator and your Jurassic Park and your Jurassic Park and your Predator, because they're supposed to be blind, but they got like that, like they make that sound, and then they got the weird night vision. They can see your heat signatures, and then I'm like, all right, Predator, and then they're in that kitchen. I'm like, all right, these are freaking Velociraptors.
Right.
They even go so far as to make sure you see that Velociraptors have this one hook on their hand. These creatures have two.
Yeah.
Tap.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever seen Tremors 2, you would know. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yes, please stop that right now.
Don't you. But Tremors 2, they were poking fun because between the time Tremors 1 came out, Jurassic Park, and then Tremors 2. And so there was some jokes about they felt that maybe they were tongue-in-cheek implying that Jurassic Park stole some things from them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did
Spielberg have any production credit with the first Tremors? Why do I always feel like that's true? I don't think it is, but in my head...
I don't think it is either.
In my head, Ablin Entertainment had something to do with Tremors.
Right.
I don't know why.
Maybe he wishes he had made Tremors. How about that?
Maybe. I don't know. Now, actually, I don't want to jump away too far from this Kevin Bacon thing. So
Bacon.
Kevin Bacon wants to make and has made a pilot and is executive producing if it happens a Tremors television show.
Yes.
And first of all, I cannot believe Hulu or Netflix or somebody hasn't swept in and said, yes, please.
Well, right. It was allegedly a Universal project. So yeah, they would have to.
Well, there's plenty of Universal things on Netflix. Like production and who's actually airing it doesn't matter. Like you could have, Fox made, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. No, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was on Fox when it got canceled. But it was always produced by NBC Universal. So NBC just picked it up. Like there's all that crossover happens all the time. So I don't think that's an issue. I think that people just don't know if it's sellable. Like it may not be.
Yeah.
Like you keep saying, it's like, oh, Tremors is cool, but then you go, oh, but is it though? Is it cool?
Right.
But
is it? I mean, come on. Because people always say they want a Tremors movie, but then they don't rush out and buy the DVD, right?
So that's the way with the pilot. We all want that. No, maybe we don't.
Yeah, they say, take my money. Or no, just shut up and take my money, they say, but then they don't really give you your money.
But then we're talking about a TV series, and TV series play by some weird rules. Like it's hard to predict what's gonna stick with these new TV series. Like this is a daylight horror comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like it's hard to I don't know. That could be great, right?
Mm-hmm. Or the worst thing ever. Who cares? Let's give it a half a season try. It could be 11 episodes, and let's just see what happens. Come on, take a chance.
I feel like
did any of us watch Ash versus the Evil Dead? Don't answer.
I hear it's great. Nice one, Ibbit. Nice one. You got him.
But the answer is, yes.
I hear that's great, and I hear they pulled it off. So if they can pull it off, Preacher can pull off what it pulled off, I know it's not the same, but Preacher really has, I would have thought, would have had a very difficult time becoming a TV show, and that somehow worked.
I predicted Santa Clarita Diet wouldn't last 6 months.
Never seen it.
Like I started watching that, and I'm like, there's no way. It's still going.
Yeah, people like that show.
Did you watch more than one episode? Like, is it any good, or is it just...
We watched almost the first season.
Okay.
It's all right.
I mean, it's the best comparison to a Tremors TV series I can think of.
Yeah, it's a satirical zombie idea. It's weird. Yeah, it's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
Okay.
I think that this has more potential. The problem is, can they take it away? I mean, let's forget about the star power that is Kevin Bacon in terms of him returning to the series after all this time. Forget about that for a minute. Just consider what it's about. Well, all right, it's about big worms in Nevada. what else do you got? And maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, and see, that's an interesting topic, because Tremors 1 starts out as is happening to the characters, where Tremors 2 and forward was about almost like a TV procedural type of show where they're hunting the creatures, the graboids. And so they go to different locations and they eradicate the Tremor, the graboids and the blastoids and everything else. There are screechers and all this other crap. Mm-hmm. So it's a totally different thing after the first one.
Yeah. And they also, I mean, this idea of going to South Africa is interesting because this is just what movies do. They're like, now we go to the next bigger thing or whatever. So I get why they do it, but I would have thought they would have just kept filming all this in some desert here where it's cheap.
Yeah. The whole movie was made in South Africa.
Yeah. Even the Arizona stuff or the Nevada stuff was filmed in South Africa with real South African crew and actors and all that. Like, it's weirdly like go all the way for a thing that's the fifth of a series of shit movies.
Right. Fifth of a series of movies that people didn't realize there was a fourth or a third.
I haven't seen two, three, four, and the new one, six. I'm like Gibbet. I've only seen the two.
One and five.
I've seen one a lot.
And up until day before yesterday, one.
Yeah.
Yep.
To be honest with you, if you're starting from scratch, one and five is really all you need to see, because five does a pretty good job at the beginning, kind of bringing you up to speed on what's happened since one. Two is...
I hated how they did it, though.
Two is kind of a guilty pleasure. It's bad, though. It is bad. But I kind of like it because it still has Ward in it, and so
Fred Ward was Robin, not Robin.
But
holy graboids, Batman!
Yeah. So it is a stinker, but I like Ward. So
you're either talking about a terrible idea or the best thing you can do with this series, bringing Burt Ward in. Oh man. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad it exists, and I'm glad people still do them. But I don't know. It's a weird property, man. Like, it's Michael Gross's singular thing, and he's got other work. He's doing other things, but you don't recognize any of them. Once in a while, I'll show up, and I was watching an episode of Grace and Frankie with Kim, and there's old Michael Gross. He's a friend of somebody's, and I went, oh, that's cool to see him in here. But this is it. This is his main
thing,
and... If we, if he was 66 at the time, he's what, 68 now?
Yeah.
I'd be doing that if I was him and I looked as good as he did at his age. Yeah. Gosh dang it. Yeah, go for it. Sure. Do whatever you got to do.
What do you think the general public recognizes him more for? His role as the father, Mr. Keaton, in The Family Ties, or Tremors?
I think it's the combo.
Family Ties.
Well, you'd say Family Ties, but I think that the public generally sees him as, oh, it's that guy on Family Ties who's also does Tremors movies. Like, I think he's done both things so iconically that that you can't separate him from either, and you pretty much can't attribute anything else to him. You know, he's done a big, huge body of work, but guess what? You don't know shit about it because
you don't care. There's only two things you care about,
right?
Graboids and 80s TV politic centric.
And for me, it's the same character. I've decided that I'm going to have this be a continuum where Stephen Keaton, the dad, was so frustrated and embarrassed that he raised Alex Keaton and set that horrible human being out into the world that he went crazy and embraced an alter ego.
Right. And so that's the conflict,
This is the same guy 20 years later, and he's shaved his head and he's out in the desert drinking his pee.
Right. And then Reba left him and went and started her own show.
Right.
Yeah.
Launched a successful country music and television and Broadway career.
Right.
I do like the fact that even though she was only in the first one, they keep Reba's character alive in just about every movie, because he always references and goes back to his time when he was married.
Yeah, I do love the fact that he's like, yeah, I really loved her, or I really loved that gun, and to some degree, my ex-wife.
There are a couple of jokes like that that landed pretty pretty well. There were also some one-liners that were so over the top, they came back around to being cool again, weirdly. Like, you went all in, and I like that. Like, normally I don't like it because it's like Sharknado where you're making camp for camp's sake. This didn't feel like that to me. It felt like something else. It's a variation maybe, but there were a couple of times where he would say, and I have some of these clipped, obviously, but he would say things that were just so over the top, Schwarzenegger level stupid one-liners that it was glorious. It's a great return to that sort of stuff because I miss it.
And this film also goes all in on the trope of Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many things introduced in this film early on that come back around later. I lost count.
Yeah.
My favorite was that if you electrocute the dirt, you can get some worms.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool scene, though.
Is it true? Is there any truth to that? I didn't know, so I can't make a judgment.
How do you electrocute dirt? I don't understand what kind of incredible power source was she using. Oh. I don't know.
Right. And what kind of stupid that was one thing that kind of bothered me. Oh, you can set your clock by the lightning. No, you can't. Now, somebody could email in and tell me how I'm wrong, but I don't know of any weather event in the air that happens every day at the same time. Now, there's other events that happen, but not weather, not air.
It was fun, though. Yeah. That was like, like I say, there were many Chekhov's guns in this movie, and it was one of those things like when somebody said something that didn't really have anything to do with the main plot, you're like, oh, that's going to come around later.
Yeah. It says here, sorry, I'm looking up whether this is a thing. The drawback, it says this, while this method does work, they say if the soil is moist and not dry, it does work. It'll get them out. However, the drawback is that most of the worms end up getting killed.
Do they explode like a graboid?
No. They just die.
Grandfather did what now?
My grandfather used to do this. Like, he would go out Friday night. He would soak the section of the yard. Friday night.
Friday night at Hibbett's house. Go ahead.
And then he'd have this little electrified wire plug that he'd jam into the ground.
Yeah.
And then the worms would pop out. He'd stick them in his box, and then Saturday morning, off to the lake to go fishing with them.
Yeah,
the worms would pop out Friday night.
Yeah,
worms would pop out Friday night. Worm popping out.
Yeah, jamming in his Friday box.
Worm.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Yes. Grab,
put your finger in the dirt right there. Just a second. All right.
That is the thing. Like, he'd always say, "Oh, Brian, don't put your finger in the dirt. No. Don't touch the dirt." Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Your granddad had a weird accent.
He was Hungarian,
but it sounded a little Russian.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it.
Don't put penis in dirt. You put penis in dirt, you will regret.
Don't put penis in dirt.
Yeah, don't do it.
You regret it. Okay, then.
Trust me.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Anyway, what was I going to say? I mentioned this earlier, and I want to just reiterate it. Because this director makes mostly, you know, just purposeful garbage, but seems like pretty good at it, like actually has some capability here, I would like to just put on the list early, if it's possible, Death Race 4, Beyond Anarchy, which, here's this, let me give you the plot summary. This is being written by Tony Giglio, but it's based on Paul W. Anderson's story, who we like from some things and hate from other things. But anyway, it says, after an attack on inmate Frankenstein fails, a black ops specialist enters the maximum security prison to join the illegal death race and take down Frankenstein once and for all. If we don't watch that, then we are bad at our jobs. I agree. See that.
However, do we really want the Death Race franchise to be our number one sacked franchise?
I go back and forth on this all the time, because we tend toward becoming the show where we always watch every new Expendables movie or whatever. And that's okay. It's not ideal.
I was going to say, if it's not that, what else would it be?
Like, yeah. Tremors. There's six of them. We got plenty of time.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Hellraiser, Tremors. Which one what basket should we be putting some eggs into?
What do we own? It's Film Sack. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, like, that's better to me than becoming the podcast that sits and watches 15 Star Wars movies or whatever.
Oh, hell no. I don't want to do that. I mean, I like Star Wars, but forget it. Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo and Danny Glover in that one. So you got the two Dannys back together after Badasses 2 or whatever they were in. Yeah, I just feel like that's
a thing. Have we not seen that one?
No, that's not even out yet. It's in post-production, I think.
I know. Doesn't it feel like we've seen them all?
have I seen it? I don't know.
Well, maybe not post-production.
Danny Trejo and Danny Glover in this new Death Race 4?
Right.
Let's see. Hold on.
Director. Oh, no. You're talking about... they are.
Okay. Oh, it's completed, just not out yet. So whenever that hits, we should get on that. He's also
working on all that sweet, sweet post-production.
I mean, look at his stuff. He did that Kindergarten 2, Kindergarten Cop 2. He's doing Scorpion...
Kindergarten.
He's doing Scorpion King Book of Souls. The Death Race one, Tremors, Cold Day in Hell.
Another one we need to get Scorpion King series wrapped in hard.
He did a TV movie called Taken, The Search for Sophie Parker. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with Taken or not.
So that is a TV movie sequel to the Taken series, not starring Liam Neeson. And it's allegedly so bad, like so bad that you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Scott, can I direct your attention? Are you still on the Death Race 4 Beyond Anarchy IMDb page?
I am.
Can I scroll down past the full cast? So on the main page for that,
yeah.
Scroll down past the cast, past the storyline, there's the IMDb section called Plot Keywords.
Okay, I found it. Oh, this is perfect. Here are your keywords.
Read those to me?
Yes. I'm going
to
read those to you. Here you go.
Read those to me, please.
Female nudity, full frontal female nudity, bare breasts, female frontal nudity, female full frontal nudity, and then there's another 38.
It's like every iteration of the four words female comma nudity comma right. full and frontal.
There's a lot of things like bare butt, shower, man in shower, taking shower, male Beaver rear scene. Nudity. Then there's my favorite one, watching someone sleep.
What? That is just that is actually disturbing to a younger it's person. Really it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a good list too.
Barefoot male.
This is my favorite.
One of the keywords.
Listen to this.
Barefoot male.
I've got seductive.
I'm offended.
It says seductive behavior, car race, death, shaved vagina, erect nipples.
We forget something. We forget we live in a society that we're not the only people watching these movies. I mean, that may be a problem for certain cultures.
I don't know why. And these keywords don't mean anything to me. Like, I'll bet you money that somebody comes in here and trolls the shit out of this stuff.
And basically, as soon as a movie is announced, as soon as an IMDb page is created, they say, all right, here's the plot keywords. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. It's just like me. Like, I'm in here right now submitting that the part played by Jamie Kennedy in this film almost went to Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
You're the one.
This is really great. I'm kind of.
I never knew that was a thing.
I had no idea. I'm so glad you pointed this out. This is a new section that I have paid no attention to in my previous use of IMDb.
Actually, I will now take a look and see what the Tremors 5 plot keywords are because I want to see what.
Graboids, 2010s, South Africa, creature feature, sequel. Mm-hmm. Let's see if there's any interest in here. Wildlife reserve, watchtower, motorcycle riding. What? Oh, there's a reference to Jimi Hendrix.
That's a keyword. So like, oh my God. So can I click on that and find every movie where somebody has said there's a reference to Jimi Hendrix?
Maybe.
Hey, look for plot summary Star Trek, and we'll go ahead and replace Daryl since it's on vacation.
By the way,
seen during end credits.
Wait.
White phosphorus grenade is a plot.
That's
keyword.
A key plot keyword. Weird.
You know what? Yes. I got a woman in a bikini fetish, so I'm gonna click on that. Let's see here.
Well, I think we don't.
Baywatch is the first result of that. John Wick. Nice. I don't remember no bikini ladies in John Wick.
There were some, but they were. I wouldn't call it a keyword. Key usually
like
means
man like... urinating is a plot keyword. Folk dancing, banana clip, banana. Night vision goggles.
There was a man urinating.
Somebody's playing Taboo watching this film and writing anything that they saw on screen.
No, but here's the game. The game is to write something as complicated as possible that also describes something from another movie, just any other movie.
Right.
What is
so like outdoor sex shower murder? Like, and then you have to think of another movie.
Okay, here's my favorite. Or keep looking. My favorite thing I just ran into by total accident. This movie, for the longest time, had a code name, and so everyone assumed Australia. It was called, and I'm not kidding, Tremors 5 Thunder from Down Under. They should have totally done it.
They should have. And if they're probably sitting on that for a future one of these, right?
So they're going to Australia to fight worms that live in the ground, and they're on the plane with the Thunder from Down Under. The whole cast is headed home for a holiday. And they all get to Australia together with all of these sweaty, oily dudes with 17 abs each.
Right.
And they get off the plane and shenanigans right then and there.
This movie takes place in the basement of the Excalibur Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Vegas is the setting for a Tremors movie? Holy shit. You know what? Get a big effects budget so you can go nuts with it. Mm-hmm. The idea of giant thunderworms under the ground popping up through the freaking lobby of the
and
Flamingo.
People still playing their slot and looking over and still playing their slot
machines. And pulling really quickly on it, going ding, ling, 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 ling. That's an amazing, I would watch a Vegas Tremors in a freaking heartbeat. I'd go to theaters for that. That'd be amazing. I totally would.
I bet you Kevin Bacon would come back for that one.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm glad he's come back, because I'm sure after Tremors 1, he's like, I ain't going back to that stupid
I got me a career
thing.
Now.
I got a career. I'm going to do Flatliners. I don't know what he's going to do. Anyway, And so he moved on, and now he's at the more like at the end of his career, going, you know what, Tremors, not so bad.
Bad idea. Hey, you guys still need me?
Yeah, F it. My who's the serial killer man show is over. So what am I doing? Nothing. Yep.
The Following, was that what that one was?
Yeah, The Following.
Yes.
By the way,
first season of that's great. Second season,
petered out.
By the way, Scott, your suggestion, you're saying, you know, I would watch this particular setting for this movie. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of one of my big questions, which is, why isn't there a Tremors video game? Mm-hmm. And what is going on there? Like, can you imagine if there was a Tremors video game?
Well, there are some subterranean worm games that do exist that are I can't remember the name of these. There's even some mobile stuff, but controlling this giant worm that flies out of the earth and eats people and cars and stuff and goes back under there, and you have to be careful to time
Tremors the game was canceled.
Newgrounds. That one was canceled. Guess what? A Tremors thing.
Yeah.
A Tremors thing was canceled. Yeah, go ahead.
What? Yeah.
I'm just saying, every time someone yells "Get on the rocks," I'm like, "Oh, I should be in a first person with a huge gun."
Get on the rocks. Get on the rocks. Okay, check this out. Surprise. Yeah, see, Ibbot knew where I was going. I think this marks the first time in Film Sack history where we have a film where the first two scenes of the movie are one guy taking a poop, then peeing himself, and then another guy taking a pee. I think that's the first time in the history of the thing where that succession has happened. Now, we may have had a movie where somebody peed at a different time or something.
What a great vision this director had to go, you know what? I'm going to put up front so everybody knows exactly what to expect.
Yep.
Welcome home.
Evacuate yourself.
All these scenes in the front 10 minutes of this movie.
Right. Nobody's going to accuse me of hiding some kind of message.
I mean, once they got going, actually, we don't have a whole lot of complaints, but my biggest problem was outside of that first guy who died in the dark, and it wasn't that big a deal.
Look,
it took 30 minutes for them to kill anybody. 30 freaking minutes. That's too long.
There's only... Okay, so I forgive a lot with Tremors, but there's really only one thing that has annoyed me since they introduced them in part 3. It is the ass blasters. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with kind of going, hey, we're silly, but one, they kind of crossed the line for me.
Mm. See, and for the rest of the world, the ass blasters are introduced at the beginning of part 5 because we didn't watch those middle movies.
Right.
And I really appreciated that they ran me through the life cycle. They gave me the rundown, and then we're off to the races.
And they gave you that cool.
Wait till you see 3. You think the CGI was great in this?
Yeah,
it wasn't in 3.
Just wait till you see 3.
Right.
But I like the little educational film quality animation stuff they were doing at the beginning, even though that's dumb because he's filming it in real time, and you know, obviously that stuff's not done yet. But whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I can park my brain at the door on that. But I like that. I like the. Kind of Fallout does this, you know, with all the little Fallout boy stuff. It's cool. I like that.
Would it have been better served if they had the whole Hammond thing where he kind of comes out and he talks to himself?
Oh, like
Michael Gross doing that, to like some kind of film projection.
I've been all right. Cool. Maybe like an old. Yeah. What I wanted was like a Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom kind of thing with just guys in 70s right. suits and scratchy film going. Or is that Wild World of Sports? I always get them mixed up. What's the song?
No, you had it.
Okay.
They're very similar.
They're totally similar. It reminds me. Both those things are burned into my brain. Anyway, if I had one big complaint outside of 30 minutes to kill anyone in a horror movie, it was that main, very attractive actress. She's really pretty. She kept losing her accent. She had her accent like one cent minute. She'd be going, "We need to help Africans do the thing," and then she'd turn around and go, "Come on, honey, we gotta go." Like she was Princess Leia in that thing up and down, and it drove me slightly bananas. But when she fired that arrow into that truck and that worm was gonna eat the truck, oh dude,
Natalie Becker did a she needs something where she showcased, because we've seen her in a couple of things. I think was it some Scorpion King crap or something. I mean, it's
she's
shame
in the new,
she doesn't have a...
She's in that new one that this director did, the new Scorpion King thing, yeah.
Because I think she makes an excellent action heroine. I mean, I think she can play that part very well. She just looks badass.
She was in Death Race Inferno, but I don't think we saw that one, right?
No, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm. That may have been the same director also, is it?
Yeah, probably.
Probably is. But yeah, like, she's great. She looked like she had real star power to me, and I don't know why I haven't seen her in more places.
Which made me think, I was like, look, I love Michael Gross, and I kind of liked his role better in the first and second one because he is entertaining, but then putting him in the center, I don't know. For some reason, I don't know. Go ahead.
It is kind of what's-his-face's dad in American Pie, right? Like, of the main actors kind of move on. Well, we need something to anchor this to, like, all the other films. So it's not Stifler's dad, but the main characters.
Eugene Levy. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what did that contract look like for Eugene Levy? Don't you wonder that sometimes? You're like, dude, are you in, like, all eight of these terrible things? And you're Eugene Levy. People love you. You're adored and admired. What are you doing?
I want to issue an instant correction. You can tell Brian Dunaway was looking at IMDb because he named Natalie Becker, who is nothing in this
is
film.
Is that not
tiniest role?
Is that not Natalie Becker? Oh, wait, I got it wrong.
The veterinarian is played by an actress named Pearl Tusi, who is also, like, has very
way down
credit.
The list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. If you look at any other thing, like if you look at the opening credits of the film, it's actually sort of in order. It puts Michael Gross last for some reason, but it actually, you know, gives you the names of all of the main people.
Go
ahead.
Anyway,
go ahead. Anyway, I was gonna defend myself for a second for mistaking Natalie Becker, because I'm looking at the little tiny thumbnail IMDb, and she's wearing this low cut shirt.
Right, it's
look at
from
that
like
IMDb.
A mummy film or something that she was in.
Yeah,
probably the Scorpion movie.
The
though.
Scorpion King. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
She's
very, very few total actors in this movie, and so when you go to IMDb, there's just not a lot going on. But I have to give Worst Picture of the Week to Pearl Tusi, because once again, folks, when you put in your picture for IMDb, hey, you're an agent. Somebody's paying you money. Think about how it's going to turn out. She's half a person. What if Harvey Two-Face is on the other half?
You can basically just Photoshop, take that photo, copy, reflect horizontal, and
That one looks weird.
Perfection symmetry.
They did not at all think about
it. I'm
going
to try what Ibbot suggested right now, and I'll post it in the...
Put it in the thing. Put it in the thing. I want to see it. I want to see it.
I do too. If you weren't going to do it, I was.
But she's in some other stuff, and she's...
Lots of Quantico, apparently. I guess she was a major character in Quantico, because she's in, like, 17 episodes of that.
Yeah. But before all this, and there's a lot...
Not a lot before this.
I mean, maybe she's just getting started. You know, like maybe this is just where you begin, and that'd be great, because I thought she was.
Oh, she
great.
Was also in Scorpion King: Book of Souls.
That's where my confusion is coming in.
Yeah,
Becker,
that's
Beckman, Beckett.
I think this dude hires her for all his movies. Is what's going on there. All right, what else we got here? When they fired a load of rockets into the egg nest, I thought that was rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool setup to that, like looking over and seeing that the helicopter had all of its missiles intact. And
mm-hmm. And good job. It happens to be aimed perfectly already. Just get in and push a button, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have to fly it. I was concerned about that. I'm like, what if they have to fly that thing and adjust it? They're in trouble.
Yeah,
they could probably push and slide around on the ground a little bit. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
just push a button. No, just push a button, a big red button on the joystick. Boom, you're done.
I feel like our I feel like our main bad guy, who, you know, was just there to poach the egg,
right?
Mm-hmm. He should have died more gnarly, I think, because you had a chance there to do some stuff. They got some really good blood and guts from the creatures, but not enough from the people, in my opinion.
Some good
and also we didn't really get like a good reason why he's the big bad guy. He's just like, suddenly I'm stealing the egg and I'm not even who I told you I were. And I'm like, but what are you, why? Well, you're it just didn't, I don't know.
His motivations were odd, right? I agree. It was the most basic way you could show that trope. It's like, well, what does he want? He wants a living egg so he can make money because he's going to sell it. Done.
How would you make money?
I don't know. Like, who's even going to tell? Like, obviously entire governments are ignoring the fact that there are giant worms in their countries, but you don't get any help from any military or anything. It's just a guy and his gun and his hat. That's all that ever fights these giant worms. And so we're already living in a world where nobody else seems to care, so why that guy thinks he's gonna Newman the sample right off the island, I don't know.
Also, what do you call that?
Newman. You have to Newman.
Newman
it
the sample. Yeah. I like that. Newman the sample.
Now that there are graboids in Africa, I kind of want to see what goes down out there on the safari. Like, are the lions going to fight back? Like, I don't know. It just seems like there could be some really interesting, like, natural things happening.
Sure. Why not? A graboid versus, I don't know. What are those big, tall animals called? Forget what they're called.
Giraffe.
So now,
Pumba.
Like, now when you go on safari, you're like sitting in the truck, and they're like, "We're going to take you to see the rhinoceroses who are at war."
You should have seen part two, because in part two they basically have. Oh no, I'm sorry. Must be part three.
Gosh,
part
it's hard
three
to tell.
Go back to that part three when they go back to the perfection. Prequel. Well, they go not the prequel. That would be four. Oh, they go back to perfection in part three. And there's actually a safari type ride that a local has made that where they go and see the Tremors.
Really?
But it's all faked. It's all faked. Yeah.
But then it turns out the Tremors are real. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds like a shit movie, dude. I don't want to see it.
But we really need to make sure we get all these correct. So thank you for thinking really carefully about which movie is which.
Yeah. We need to, some accuracy is going to go a long way.
You don't want those graboid heads on here emailing us and you don't want that.
Right.
Yeah. That. So
I'm sure that's what the fans of this franchise are called.
So we can make the decision now, or we can wait for fan feedback, but do we ever watch another, the Tremors again? And I say yes to six, because
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'd be up for six. I was thinking the prequel, but I'm good for six.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm down for any of them. The only one I haven't seen is six, so it's good either way.
All right.
Maybe six is a watch together situation.
We'll give it
Brian
some.
Dunaway hasn't seen it.
Yeah, and we'll give it some space. You know, we're not going to.
Yeah, it won't be next week.
No, it may be a year. Or something.
Yeah, and I think it's important also to recognize our reactions, because when this question was asked about, are we gonna ever watch another Sharknado movie, we were like,
I thought we kind of done it.
Yeah,
right?
Once you do one Sharknado, you've kind of done Sharknado. I don't know if Tremors is the same, because Tremors has this weird multi-decade history, and there's a chance to kind of glean more from it, but. You know, the way that Sharknado's made, it's like, well, you've seen one, you've literally seen them all, except it's bigger and better.
This, right.
And this one
is an avalanche.
Yeah. Avalanche of freaking sharks. Yeah, the Sharknado thing. I think I'm glad that we poked our head in on that. I'm not sure we ever need to see another Sharknado, though.
No, we don't need to. That's one franchise that I feel like we don't need to. It's tougher to do stuff that is that much of a parody. This is kind of the right amount of, we take ourselves seriously, but there's enough humor. That is just too Yeah. Plus, that aren't we being clever for its own good?
Yeah.
Plus, that series doesn't have an anchor like Michael Gross.
Right.
Are you saying that Ian Ziering is not a solid, and Tara Reid are not solid anchors for that series?
I'm just saying they're not in all of them. I don't think.
They're not. I think Ian Ziering is in all of them. I think.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know about
her. By the way, I watched a terrible film this past week that is destined for film sack greatness. It's Hurricane Heist.
Yeah. Where they gotta do a bank heist during. I heard about this.
Yeah. So we checked this out at the Red Box last week, and it's got our favorite. Hey, is it that one girl? No, it's the other, Maggie Grace.
Oh, good. Leslie Bibb, yeah. Maggie Grace.
Yes.
Sweet.
So it was good, if you know what I mean.
I can confirm that Ian Ziering is in all four Sharknadoes.
No, wow. Okay, I was wrong then. So they do have an anchor.
Hold on. How about Tara Reid? She in all of them?
Let's take a look.
Because Tara Reid is, you know, you never know if she's even getting up in the morning.
Is she going to show up?
Yeah.
Only listed. Was she only in the first? No. Oh, there's a fifth Sharknado. I wonder if that one has Ian Ziering. I didn't see that one.
Well, I was told the fifth is their last.
1, 5, and 3 for sure.
Okay.
I don't see a listing. Oh, 2. She's in 1, 2, 3, and 5.
1, 2.
But not 1, 2, necessarily 3, 5. In The Fourth Awakens.
Oh, The Fourth Awakens.
It's really sad that by the time you get to Sharknado 5 Global Swarming, which is a film that came out a year ago, you're looking at an IMDb page with almost nothing on it because it's just like, whatever. No one
cares. Right. Yeah, just go back and look at the other ones.
Watch or don't.
No, apparently she was in Sharknado 4 as well. So she's as much of an anchor. She's as much of an anchor as...
Right.
Yeah, you know what an anchor is. Good... Oh, anchor is either something that keeps you grounded or it's a thing that sucks your ship underwater.
It drags. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
So boy, I don't know if it's a spoiler. I wish I wouldn't have looked at this because I see that in Sharknado 1, she's April Wexler. Sharknado 2, April Wexler. Sharknado 3, April Shepherd. Sharknado 4, April Wexler.
Oh, is she married? Uh-oh.
And then Sharknado 5, just April.
She's April, yeah.
Just
relationships. You know what I'm saying?
And in six, she's Gary. So now.
Yeah. Took a turn. It took a turn.
By the way, we are exactly 4 weeks out from Sharknado 6 appearing on Sci-Fi, the world premiere of Sharknado 6 coming in 4 weeks.
Can't
Get
wait.
Ready, guys.
I thought I heard.
Which is called The Last Sharknado. It's about time.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I thought it was 5, but I guess it's 6 is supposed to be the last one. So
Speaking of anchors, Michael Gross is in all these films. Fred Ward was in 2. And also... do you remember watching Jurassic Park, the younger blonde-headed girl?
Yeah. She one of these?
She was
the little girl?
Yeah. She was before Jurassic Park, she was in Tremors, Ariana Richards, and she came back for part 3, Back to Perfection, by the way, which was so bad and so good. Mm. But she's also, I think she did, I think that was it, though. So she had a couple of
Tremors. One, the only one that made it to theaters, or did two?
Yes.
End up there. Okay.
Well, some of them made it to theaters in very limited release. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that means.
Okay. Probably like midnight cult classic kind of things, right? Where they show 2 or 3 of them in a row, you know, for fans. Yeah.
So I want to say one more thing about Sharknado because this forthcoming 6th film.
Please do.
When you said it's about time, you might think, oh, well, the subtitle is saying The Last Sharknado, or we're saying that this is the last movie, and it's about time we stopped making these movies. No. The movie is about time travel. They have to go all through the different timelines to stop the sharks. This film includes by all rights, Nazis, dinosaurs, medieval knights, and they're even going to visit Noah's Ark, guys. The Tremors 7 needs to step up.
Right.
This sounds good and bad, and it reminds me of all the times I watched Sliders back during the late 90s, and just those terrible action shots where they're running away from dinosaurs that are so bad CG.
Right.
I can't help but to feel that's probably a lot of that, too, in that new Sharknado. Sliders. Why can't we watch that on here?
Nothing wrong with Sliders. Sliders should be movies. There should be a series of Sliders movies.
Didn't we watch one episode
of Sliders? We did watch Sliders. The Mall World or something like that?
Yeah, it was a Christmas thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Everything's Christmas at the mall or whatever.
That's right, yes.
Right. Yeah. And we had the Rhys Davies conversation, right? Where did we get that?
Was he in there?
How do you say that name?
No, that's a different dude. That's Gimli.
No, the other...
John Rhys Davies or John shit.
Who Jonathan John Rhys no. Davies. John Rhys Davies.
John right? Rhys no?
Yeah.
John Rhys Davies. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's starting to sound weird now though. The more we say it.
Totally. Rhys Darby is band meeting, by the way.
Right, right. I get them.
That's why we're confusing.
I always do this.
Terrence Trent Darby.
Terrence Trent Darby.
He's something else now, actually. Sananda.
Yes, he is.
Really? Yeah.
Different
name?
Album about 2015, and we got that album and listened to it for a minute. There was a couple of good songs on it.
Really?
Yeah. Sananda Francesco Maitreya.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
that's his real name, but he's gone back to using his real name.
Okay, so that was always his name. Oh, look at him now. Yep.
The dude has such an amazing...
Yeah.
Actually, okay, no, his real name is Terrence Trent Howard.
Okay.
And then he was Terrence Trent Darby, and now he's Sananda Francesco Maitreya.
Is it a transition name? Sananda? Or does he still present as male? I'm wondering. I don't know.
No, he's not doing any of that.
What do you mean that? I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, you're looking at him, and because he has this androgynous look to him.
That's not why I'm assuming anything. I'm assuming it because the name is not. It looks like a very feminine name.
He had a bunch of dreams in 1995, chose the name Sananda Maitreya, which means rebirth in Sanskrit, legally changed his name in 2001, saying Terrence Trent Darby was dead. He watched his suffering as he died a noble death after intense pain. I meditated for a new spirit, a new will, and a new identity.
Wow. Mimbo Jimbo. That's fine. Whatever you got to do, buddy.
Wow.
It's
okay. Incredible voice. Crazy little bit.
A little bit losing his mind.
Yeah. Right.
He's an artist.
Look at him now. So he used to be such a baby face little handsome boy, right?
Yeah.
You look at him now, and he's got this look
of
like...
Look at you, baby face handsome boy.
his pictures of now like looks like he's going to tell me not to get Mugwai wet. I don't know what it is. It looks like a mystic, like a guy's behind a table going, oh.
We should totally face shame, absolutely.
Yeah, why not? Why not? We're all going there. We may as well get into the fun. I found out I'm going to be a grandparent this week. Did you hear about it? Oh, sorry, Dunaway.
No.
It's all on Twitter and stuff. What, you don't read social media? What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't look at Twitter or Facebook. What am I?
Yeah, my oldest married
daughter.
Congratulations. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's just about the size of a green bean right now, but the baby, not her. And they're due in February. So, yeah, it's going to be weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Young grandpa.
Well,
for those
who are just now hearing the news as me, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man. It's going to be great. We're going to spoil that little brat to death. Whatever happens there, you're going to be spoiled. Never going to want to leave grandpa's house. Why? Exactly. I don't want to go home. Why? Because grandpa's got all the cool stuff and I don't want to leave. That's how it's going to go. And then Kim will make him.
Just one more game of Fortnite.
Please.
Why am I still talking like this? I'm like 22. What's going on? Did I miss my chance?
This is a perfect transition to play some clips, actually, when you're doing weird voices like this. So I'm going to play some. Here's a deal. This is a thing from the movie. It's made me laugh, and it's from the very first part of the movie. So here you go.
The only thing you're going to feel is my boot in your bum.
I like that. That's pretty good.
The boot in your bum.
Do we say real Australian or fake Australian?
Real. You mean South African?
South African, I guess. Sorry.
I'd say real. That sounded real to me.
I actually work with two South Africans, and I got to say that sounded a little bit off.
Really?
Well, he is South African.
Yeah.
The
actor
is?
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Bunch
but
of them
Kevin Bacon is American, but you heard him in the first Tremors? I mean.
In the first Tremors, he's like, hey, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
I just choked on my own accent.
Like, There's right. like two dozen American accents.
No, that's true.
I'm sure he was one of them.
Yeah, that trailer.
I don't know if we should use that as our baseline for comparison.
And he hasn't lost a step with that new trailer for that pilot. Like it's the same exact freaking thing. All right, snake time.
One sizzling, succulent piece of pure protein. Woo! And you can bet that Burt's Bullseye brand cactus juice marinade will eradicate any trace of that taste like chicken.
Okay, so we're to take it that he's also got a line of food supplements. Condiments, I suppose.
And I guess this was a little tiny bit of product placement. Like, Bullseye is actually a brand that makes such things.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But he called it Burt's Bullseye, whatever. But yeah, there's a Bullseye barbecue sauce brand that's okay. Huh. Yeah. That's the brand. Okay. This is a great story. I'm glad you brought it up, Randy, because when I was in high school, Bullseye had this big promotion at our local hockey team. At the time, they were called the Salt Lake Eagles. Now they're not that. But anyway, we went to the game, me and this friend who's really into hockey, who always smelled like hockey. It's the stinkiest people you'll ever know in your life.
Hockey.
Dude, hockey players, reek. They reek. You can't get the smell of hockey players out of your life. It's so bad.
Is that why we sometimes call poo hockey? Is that why? Is it
horse hockey?
Horse hockey, maybe. I hadn't thought of that. So anyway, we're down this. We go down to the Salt Palace, which again was very different then. But we go down there and we're parked. And as you leave, there's a lady there and she's handing out free packets, kind of like ketchup packets, except they're bigger, about double the size of a ketchup packet of this Bullseye stuff. So we're like, oh, sweet, thanks. So we take those. Again, we're like 17. We get in my friend's car, and I think it's funny if I go and put one packet each under each tire so that when we back out, they'll all go and pop, right? Because that seems funny to me. For I don't know why. Because I'm 17. And so we do that, and when my friend pulls out, Bill, we didn't realize this, but there was a couple, a dude and his wife, walking past the back of the car. So you hear this like all these pop sounds from all four tires, and these people just get sprayed with Bullseye. So like up and down their clothes, and they're just standing there like almost like in a movie how people just like put their hands up and look at themselves. So Bill's like, shit, and backed out of there so fast, and we ran from those people. So there's your little story about my delinquent childhood.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Bullseye, catch it. All right, here's something about craniums or heads or something.
What I choose to do with my cranium is none of your business.
Oh, yeah. Lots of stuff like that in this movie.
There was a lot of that back and forth between the two of them, almost to the point where I was like, can you guys knock it off?
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, cut it out, you two. Yeah. Enough of that. How about this line?
That's a yummer from the gummer.
That's a yummer from the gummer.
I wrote that line down because it made so little sense.
Little sense at all. Context or not, it was dumb.
Like if his name was Gummer, it would make sense. Oh, that's a yummer from the gummer.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't.
No.
Confirmed sighting, I wrote.
We have a confirmed sighting of what you would refer to as an ass blaster.
Oh, yeah. Ass blaster. Sounds pretty good. Who runs Bartertown? All right, check this one out. Old guy, Africa laugh. That's all I had there. It's just that. That's that guy. He's great. He's your helicopter guy. You can tell he smoked a lot.
Anybody surprised, by the way, when he dove into the mouth of the graboid that he was just going to come out a little bit later and be the...
Do the John Voight routine from...
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I honestly, I didn't think about it, but I felt like we weren't done with him somehow, and... It should have been obvious. I think you were just paying better attention because I just thought, oh, of course he's back. And you were like, oh, he'll be back.
he leapt into the mouth of that thing. So it's like, all right, he's coming back.
Yeah, that was like, what's his name on Guardians jumping into that?
Oh, yeah, Drax. Him. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Drax the Destroyer.
And like Bert from Part 3.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because he kept saying, oh, I've done this too, brother. I've been in there.
Oh, okay. So that was actually a reference and not just a boast. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only Dunaway would know. here's a line that would be considered racist, perhaps, in 2015.
And this towering hunk of dark chocolate is my assistant, Tava.
Jeez. All right.
Wow.
Hunk of dark chocolate. Buddy.
Me too movement.
Yeah. Maybe.
referred to as a piece of food. Sure, yeah.
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Magazine Envy, I wrote. Why? Oh, here's why.
We're going to be on the cover of Science Magazine.
Been there, baby. I want National Geographic.
That was the pre-shower scene, right?
Yeah.
That was as far as he could go. That was the highest he could dream. Yeah.
That was a common theme. And you've seen the first one. That was a common theme for that.
Was it?
I'm just saying, like, he could have, you know, been there, baby. I want the freaking Nobel Prize for biology or something. Like, come
Time
on.
Time Magazine Man of the Year.
Yeah,
or
something. Yeah. Anything. Go,
aim high.
Yeah. Go low. Here's a... Something about wasabi. Well, anyway,
you got any wasabi?
Eat it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I feel like you said musabi, like a spam musabi.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know, but I think you need to isolate that. Eat it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Eat it. That little girl. She reminded me of somebody I've seen. I thought, but she's done nothing really that I would know. I looked it up, but I swear she's in like some TV show recently, or like I thought she was in Handmaid's Tale for some reason. So it was driving me nuts for about 10 minutes in this movie trying to track her down, but nope, she's just a girl lives in Africa and did this thing. I don't know.
What you call the Asplesta, in our language, the word means lightning bird.
Okay. That's great.
Well, I like your name better.
Yeah.
Yours sounds so much cooler than
Asplesta. Would just be a great buffalo wing flavor.
Oh my gosh. You know what? When you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you are asking for the last blaster, whether you know it or not.
You know it or not.
I thought they only sold it at Taco Bell. Mm.
I'm pretty sure it's already the brand name of a series of high-powered redneck bidet.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty good. I have the bidet, but I don't. I'm going to start calling it the ass blaster.
You should.
Yeah, I'm going to. Here's a gummy bear thing.
Hey, gummy bears, wait up. Don't call me that.
Wait up, Pops.
I don't know why I called them gummy bears. What was that about?
His name is Bert Gummy. Gummer.
Oh, Gummer.
Yeah, Gummer. Oh, come on.
All right. Well, his name is now
so
Gummer.
Many bad jokes.
His name is Gummer now, so he can't make Gummer jokes anymore because his name is also Gummer because he's a son.
Well,
no, he's
a lover.
He never took his name. Yeah.
Well, he's a piece of shit. All right. Here's your next thing. I don't know what this is.
Number one, don't ever touch me like that again. Number two, don't ever touch me like that again. You copy?
Yeah, I copy.
Thank you for not using that for a prom story.
Right, right.
I really thought that was going to be, yeah.
I missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. This next one's from your prom. Here you go.
Fire farting son of a bitch.
That's what she said to you. You fire farting son of a bitch as you dropped her off.
Getting those instructions from the dad when he holds you back while the girl's walking out to the limo. Yeah that's what that is.
Get her here by 11:30, you fire farting son of a bitch. Here's a pee and laugh.
The Maasai have been using urine as an insect repellent for centuries.
That laugh's pretty good.
That laugh is great.
Yeah.
The quick cuts.
Phosphorus something something.
Phosphorus. I'm loving it.
Okay.
Phosphorus. All right. Phosphorus grenade.
It's like a McDonald's ad.
Phosphorus. I'm loving it.
There you go. Best line in the movie right here.
This is a bag of dicks.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
This is a bag of dicks.
We did really try hard to stick to PG-13 language for this film for some reason.
They try to stay in the PG rating. I don't know if it's because it's direct to video, but most of them are PG.
Yeah, they all try to.
They know who their audience should be. I mean, you know, it's right. A younger audience that probably would really get a kick out of this. So.
Probably. Sounds like he's going a different way in Death Race. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, sounds like
it. If the keywords are any indication, we are in a very different piece of territory. Here is here is the worm and zap moment.
We have the worm. What do you suggest we use for the zap?
I hate that line. For some reason, it bugged me, so I captured it. All right. And that's
the daily lightning that comes along predictably.
Yeah.
So much so that we can ride a motorcycle straight into here and time it just right down to the millisecond.
Yeah, they really nailed that lightning timing. That was amazing. Mm. Yeah, well done, guys.
It's giving me the shit.
All right, that's great. Hey, that's it for that. Let's get into this. Film Sack checklist goes like this: blasting the ass of an ass blaster. Jack, they did that. Bad or sorry, bad guy dude really likes a cigar. Check. The guy would not get rid of a cigar, no matter how
in trouble
he was.
Still in his mouth. All, yeah.
Yeah. A permanent fixture in his face. Jamie Kennedy's hair is whacked. Check. That thing is, whew, got to get some work done there. Star Trek stuff. Daryl says nothing was there, but he also wasn't home to verify any of this, so I couldn't find anything, but I'm sure there's somebody, some production thing or something.
I was just shocked that Jamie Kennedy never made an appearance in a more recent Star Trek. Like, that was surprising to me.
Yeah, you could have seen him as some young idiot Cardassian on DS9 or something.
Ferengi or something.
Mm-hmm. Could have totally seen that, but nope. But there's always Discovery. We'll see how it goes. Hold and cross my fingers for Jamie Kennedy on Discovery. Oh, please let it happen. anyway,
to be on vacation, Daryl.
That's right. The soundtrack grade, I give it B for better than it should be. It's all right. It fits the action. It's fine. It's nobody fancy. It's just, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, it was not you know, high quality.
No, but it got the job done. It was like what's a good. I don't know what to compare this to. It's like it's practical. It's like a small four-door sedan with good gas mileage. It just got you
reliable.
There.
It's a good, reliable. It's a soundtrack that'll get you where you want to go and is only driven by an old movie and to the grocery store and back.
An old movie. Singing in the Rain, took it to the grocery store once a week.
That's right, exactly.
Twitter post, this is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters. Sorry, that's 280 now in 2018. 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Tremors 5 Bloodlines, because you're a badass movie viewer who needs to put off cleaning the grime off your badass face for a couple of hours of effing badassery. Boom, we're going to Africa, boys. That's the stuff. Woo!
Wow, that is a tirade of tweets.
How many exclamation points did you use in that? Because that was
it's all caps, right? It's all caps.
Oh, I had like 30 because I had that room with the new Mac.
288 exclamation points.
Oh, geez, Louisa. All right, well done, Brian Dunaway.
Tremors 5 Bloodlines, like pure protein from Bert. It's a yummer from the gummer. Also, don't forget, always be running. That's some good Tremors plot luck.
Right.
If you watched all 5, you'd understand.
No, I know. I knew what you were. I knew that.
Matter of fact, I'll add to my Twitter post. If you watched
all five,
you would be laughing by now.
Oh,
there,
nice. You typed it in. Okay. Well done. Rounding us out, Brian Ibbett.
If he was a Welker when he said yummer from the gummer, so it didn't make sense unless that was being foreshadowing, and I don't think they're being that clever.
No.
All right, Tremors 5. Bloodlines. If this movie franchise stays on the rocks, the audience will never hear them.
Oh, no. Well done. Because you get on the rocks, see, and they don't. Yeah, that's good. Go,
hey, exactly.
I'm glad they're
but
consistent.
It's on the rocks, like the pilot.
That's consistent with the
it
lore of that
on
thing.
So many levels.
Although,
except the blastoids or the ass blasters, they can get you on the rocks, right?
So that's true. But I don't also understand why suddenly you'd still be able to. You're still making noise if you're walking on rocks. Never got still, that. In fact, it seems like
sound absorbent.
Right, but you'd think dirt might be more. You know what I mean? Like regular shifting dirt would absorb and displace sound in a way that would be more. A rock is a solid thing, and if you're making, I don't know, they get that backwards. That's backwards. And I realize that you have to do it that way because.
Are you arguing with Tremors logic?
Yes, Tremors science has holes in it. That's what I'm saying.
Stop.
Because they're worms. They made the holes. All right. I've got, oh gosh, you guys, look, they just handed to me right here. The alternate titles for this film were almost Jurassic Predator or Family Ties because, you know, the son and father shit. Get it?
Wow. Hey, that's actually smart. Yeah.
See, that's a pretty good one. We got emails from listeners this week. Two of them I'm going to read because I just feel like it. And we get them at filmsack@gmail.com. This first one comes to us from Keaton, which is great.
Oh,
perfect.
Michael Keaton?
I love that his name is Keaton because we're...
Mallory.
It's Mallory Keaton. Just wanted to write in and commiserate with you folks. Usually when you guys decide to sack sequel films, I like to go back and watch and listen to when you guys sacked the original. Yeah. For example, I recently did a double feature of Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2, both watching the films and listening to the Film Sack episodes. So when you announced you were doing Hellboy 2, I thought I would go back and listen to when you did the original Hellboy. I was so convinced that you guys had sacked it. In my head, I remember strolling through the episodes and passing by that episode and saying to myself, I should watch that movie and listen to that one. I was going crazy scouring the episode list until I checked out FilmSack stats and found out that you have never sacked that movie. I guess after nearly 400 episodes, even listeners get confused. Keep up the good work, guys. Mm-hmm. Keaton. Well, you're not wrong. We all get the Mandela effect on movies, and it's now their problem, too.
And it just gets worse. Every movie, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we're going to, in a 12 years or something, probably not that long, but let's say a couple of years, someone's going to go, did we do Tremors 5? we're just not going to remember.
Right.
That's the way this goes. Dear gentlemen, says a brand new emailer, Vincent. This is, as he's not brand new, he's emailed before. This is Vincent Minucci. How you like that, Vince? Oh. Got it right.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. It says, good day, gentlemen. Randy Jordan could not be more correct. Jamie Foxx is entirely wrong for Spawn. He is wonderfully talented actor, but he will be, he will almost certainly play Spawn like he did in White House Down. Over the top, jokey, and goofy. He may play it like his character in Any Given Sunday, but even that is wrong for the role. Still too tongue-in-cheek. Where he would play it like an outstanding performance in The Soloist, it would be an amazing Spawn. He is almost certainly not going to do that. And the other issue is he's too short, too small, and cannot pull off any semblance of imposing. Now, I've heard this about him. He's a short dude, but he never seems that way in movies to me. He seems like a tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a problem. I think movie magic.
They can put some of those Kiss tile giant walking
those,
boots, right?
Platform shoes.
Yeah, I mean that fits with this.
Yeah, it would
costume.
Fit with the character.
Well, they made Michael.
Although it would make it kind of hard to run and stuff.
Bringing up another, another Keaton, but Michael Keaton was somehow made to look like Batman, and that dude's short. So I don't know.
I also want to I think we need to define our terms better because. Things are getting stretched. Over the years, we've gotten to where we call anyone who's shorter than Michael Jordan short. And it's like, we need to pick up a line and stick with it and stop that, that inflation. So like Jamie Foxx is listed as 5'9". That means he's probably actually 5'7", right?
Right.
I think we need to go 5.5 feet. If you are above 5.5 feet, you are a normal size person. And if you're below 5.5 feet, you're Kevin Hart and you're small.
What if you're 6'4"? But then what are you? Are you just normal still?
You're tall.
You're giant.
Obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Behemoth.
Well, I feel better then.
This whole short thing.
Yeah, no. I see what you're saying. We don't want to segment an entire. We already have enough division in this country. Let's not keep doing it with the tiny people. Michael B. Jordan, he goes on to say, would be amazing. Idris Elba could put a fun spin on the character. Digimon Hansolu, or how you say his name, despite the accent,
Han Solo.
I like Digimon. Despite the accent, would be astounding and has this comic film experience. But Jamie Foxx is just wrong. Thanks, gentlemen, for continuing to produce the single greatest piece of audio entertainment the world has ever known. Cheers, Vincent.
Wow.
Thanks, Vince.
No hyperbole whatsoever. No.
I'd just like to point out that Michael B. Jordan is 31 and Jaimon Honsu is 54. That's quite a step for a character.
It is, but
is that how you Jaimon?
Is it Jaimon?
That's what I've heard.
I've heard Digimon. Just kidding. I've never heard that. Vincent, when I see you at BlizzCon, I assume you will be rocking a hat almost as... he wears a fedora as well as you do, Ibit. Real strong totally. Fedora.
Better
presence.
Than I do.
Yeah. It's a mean fedora.
He and I need to, talk because we're working on a new season, actually a new reboot of Lyrics Undercover. So.
Oh, cool. Well, that's right. He was involved in that stuff.
He was.
Yeah, Vincent's cool. Does a good Heroes podcast. He's a cool dude. I used to tease him because I get his name wrong all the time, but I got it right now, Vince.
I think we should, by the way, while we're between Michael B. Jordan and Jaimon Hansu, I want to split the difference, and I want that to be Chiwetel Ejiofor. He is 40, and he would be perfect for Spawn.
He's older than 40, isn't he?
He is 40.
Whoa, really? Wait, yeah. 12 years a slave, that guy. Hold on a second. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
That's exactly
okay, I'm going to look him up. It's not that I don't believe you. Oh, you're right. 77. That guy has always played a little old. Like when he was in 2005's movie I've seen 19 times, Serenity.
Yeah.
He was in his 20s?
Like 27 or something.
That's crazy. Mm. Wow, that he's always seemed very mature to me in a way that I don't necessarily mean age, but I don't know. That's great. No, he'd be a cool Spawn. Mm-hmm. I'd go for that. Yeah, why not? Just, you know who it can't be? Here's who it can't be. And by the way, we're looking at black actors because the character in the comic is. They could go with a white guy, I guess, but we're sticking with, you know,
yeah,
black characters. Sure. So I would say the guy you want to avoid is Don Cheadle. He's too little. He's a little skinny, little.
I don't think that's the reason, head. But I think Don Cheadle is a bad choice for that character just because he does come across as older, and you do need somebody who does come across somewhat young for that role.
He's so tiny. Just a little tiny man.
Such a little tiny
he's
man.
Hard. It's hard for me to even do War Machine with him because I feel like he's just this little tiny man inside of a giant machine. It's like, oh, I'm inside the machine. I don't know why he's always seemed like a little tiny guy to me, but whatever.
I want it to be different. Like, I don't want Spawn to just be this generic serious thing. Like, I want Ice Cube to play him or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. The last one was so off the wall. I kind of want to see something straight. Mm. Just to play it straight. Let's just see how that works.
I think that's what he's doing. I think that McFarlane wants to do this straight. He wants it to be like the HBO animated series was, a little more serious.
Right.
Which, if you want my opinion, this thing should always be animated, and you should stay away from live action.
Yeah, it's, never saw that, and I hear it's really, really
it's
good.
So good. You can actually, so I think HBO Go's got it. You can get in there and see it.
I'm sure it does. Yeah, I'm sure I can find it easily.
It's old.
Plus,
but it's
I think
cool.
We know someone who has every episode on a Plex server. I'm guaranteeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we'll save him an email by saying that. Right when you said that, we'll save him an email because he'll email us.
Right, borrow my DVD collection. Obviously.
That's all right. It's not a matter of availability. It's a matter of time.
Yeah,
I just don't have it.
No, we're missing the time.
It's but those you don't have to. They're such short bites. You don't have to like.
So is my current watch binge, which is Clone Wars, which I'm enjoying tremendously. But man, there's a lot to watch, and then I got to watch Rebels and.
Yeah. Brian only got so much room for animation, yo.
Exactly.
Oh, first world problems. I've got so many things to entertain myself with.
We are in an embarrassment of riches ages, man.
We really are. Yeah. And now we can pick and choose. We don't have to say, well, no, Love Boat's on at 7 and so's Dukes of Hazzard. I have to choose one.
I can't watch. How am I going to know what the Duke boys are up to?
I hear there's a new device called a videotape machine. Yeah. Yes. I'm going with Beta.
Shunk. Yeah, don't do
it's
that.
It's hard to imagine when VCR started getting into homes and people started having this conflict about, because there was only so much room on a tape. Yeah. You know, so you had to have conflict over what you were recording.
I don't want to record it in SD. Over.
Yeah, well, no, remember they used to do, so the LP or what was
long
it?
Play.
Long play, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do long play.
That got introduced and that was fine, except everything looked like crap.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Here's 6 hours of crap.
Yeah.
Little lines going up the screen.
It's a bad time to be alive.
Can fit 6 X-Files episodes on a tape. How good is that?
It's not good is the answer. It's
but
bad.
It looked fine on your 13-inch 13-inch TV, right?
It's whatever the opposite of bad is, or good, I mean, which is bad. Hey, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for listening to us, of course. We'll be back next week with a film of which title I've forgotten.
You want to know what we're watching?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yes. Well, brace yourselves, folks. We are going to watch Full Metal Jacket streaming on Netflix.
Shit. Okay.
I'm going to be sick.
This is we're going to watch Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. The reason.
I don't know they stuck shit that high. But
this is a movie I told you guys before. This movie scarred me when I was younger, so I'm actually looking forward to doing a little bit of a cleanse with it and seeing it in a modern eye.
I'm going to have to totally shift
gears. I'm promising you right now I will spend no more than 2 minutes hating Adam Baldwin. I'm putting that on paper. No more than 2 minutes. Wait. Of next episode will be me hating Adam Baldwin.
I forgot Adam Baldwin was in this.
I did not even realize he was in this.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. He's young. He must be very young in it.
Because
this was 87.
I've got to really switch my attitude, though. I've been doing all these sci-fi binges lately with Tremors. Now I gotta, straighten up.
Listen, I had to do Schindler's List for the Film Fest on Current Geek. That's about killed me. So we can do this. We can do this. This is fine.
Oh, it's gonna be it's gonna be great. Like the first 10 minutes of this film are worth it. Are worth the rest of the film just for film sack.
Yeah, and we'll see if those things I found so shocking when I was younger, if they still shock me. I'm sure they might. I don't know.
I wonder if I still hate it. We'll love it long time. Yeah. I'm sure.
Right. I wonder if I still hate.
Also, we also need. There should be no more of those jokes, Brian.
I love it.
The actual episode.
I love it.
You have expended our limit.
I love it.
Really, that's our.
You only get that's one, it, but I love it. Me? I love it. I love that you said it. Right. That you've remembered it. There's nothing wrong with any of this. All right, so that's
Full
next
Metal
week.
Jacket. Next week, yes, on Film Sack.
Full Metal Jacket. Bring your full metal ears to listen to that one. In the meantime, visit the website, filmsack.com. You can leave comments on this episode. There'll be a post there on the blog. There's also the site, which gives you all the information you need about how to find what you need about the show. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. It's also nice. And send us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. It's going to do it for us. For me, for Randy. No, I got that wrong. For me. Man, wow, how many episodes have I done this?
Just say a couple of people's names.
For me, for Brian, I almost said Ryan, and for Ryan. Randy. Man, Randy.
Hummer Gummer.
We'll see you next
Hummer
time.
Gummer.
Hummer
no.
Gummer. Don't give Gummer a Hummer.
Hummer from Gummer? No. Hummer from Gummer.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
This is a bag of dicks.
I was genuinely concerned I was going to go down the Ibbot route of, oops, I watched the wrong Tremor, so I even asked him.
ten times I worried about
the
that.
Same thing.
It's the right one. It's the right one.
And and I realized at some point, I hope you all did too, it didn't matter. Like, ultimately, no, we could totally have
watched.
Of
course it
matters. No,
have you seen all of them?
Recent Tremors sequel. As long as it's a recent Tremors sequel, we could have all watched different ones, and we're still going to have the same, relatively the same experience.
Was Michael Gross in it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one.
Right. We should say this for the show.
Have you seen that Tremors sequel? Which one? The one with Michael Gross? Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, wait, the one where they fight increasingly difficult graboids and monsters and then eventually win. Oh, yeah, that one? Yeah,
that's the one.
Tremors sequel X.
Wait, why are we blowing all of our good shit before the show?
No, this is good shit, so we're going to keep our good shit.
Tell me you've been recording this whole time.
I have been. I record it. I always do. Dunaway assumes I'm not and goes, oh, already.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.